for our sermon today will come from Galatians chapter 3, beginning at verse 26. And you can find this on page 1813 in the scriptures in your pew. So, page 1813. You know, I had my eyes closed when we pray, and I make notes for myself, and then I didn't look at them. But I just realized that we were going to pray for Timothy School, and we're going to pray for Ivan. But so this is sort of a follow-up to my prayer. But we don't have to inform God of everything. So if you're feeling a little like we didn't touch on that, it just hits me that I should comfort myself also by saying God already knew. And the prayer talk before we pray has value as well for prayerful talk, prayerful time. So I just saw you, because you're both sitting in the front row, and the things you've asked. And Galatians 3, beginning at verse 26. And let me add to the language a bit by saying, you are all sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Sometimes you folks have to know why preachers preach what they preach and what stirs them on. And we're probably quite like anyone else. What got me thinking about this passage today is For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Now, I was prompted to think about that sort of indirectly because my wife and I, about a week or two ago, when we had a bit of a cold spell, we did what you folks, most of us, have to do. We changed the stuff in our closet. We don't have a very large place, but we have large enough to store stuff. But so then you take away the summer stuff that you've been wearing, and you go to the fall stuff, and slowly on you trickle into the winter stuff. Are you familiar with what I'm talking about? There's this change. Now, my wife was especially a genius at some things. We had four little kids. And there are four seasons. And every 90 days or so, we get a new season. And that means all the clothing changes. We are so concerned with clothing, are we not? You can nod. Like, there are people who stand in front of closets full of clothes and say, I have nothing to wear. You've heard that line. I don't know what to wear. That happens, right? It's clothing. In the story in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned, it says they became aware of themselves. They became aware of their nakedness. And so they sewed fig leaves to cover themselves. That's in chapter 3. And then later on in chapter 3, after God has responded to their hiding from him, then the text says in Genesis 3 of chapter 3 of Genesis that God made them clothes out of animal skins. So the first dresser of people were people and God. It was a cooperative project to clothe us. Now, you can get really pious about this and say, well, I'm not worried about clothes. Yes, you are, because you can't go around walking in a bed sheet and sandals in our weather. You cannot do it. You need to be concerned about clothes. You need to not overdress, but also not underdress. And if you start on clothing as a sermon topic, you could be here for several days, couldn't you? Let's just keep this brief. There are some reasons, some deep things about clothes you ought to hear. And they're like this. Clothing communicates something all the time. How you dress always communicates something to others or to yourself, because clothing also shapes your spirit. When you put on something new, something you like, and you look in the mirror, and then it can cheer you up. You can be an addicted clothes shopper. I'm not referring to anybody here that I don't know about your lives to say that about you, but they design malls and shopping places for clothing so that you get engaged in the process. There are no clocks near the dressing rooms. There's a circular motor. They get you going past all the clothes so that you will do impulsive thinking and buying. Try this on. You don't go to because you need something. You go to see what's there for clothing because you know that clothing affects your spirit. It affects how you feel. Clothing, what you put on, signals your connections to others. You know, you look for a cop, you know what to look for. You look for somebody in a uniform. They say there's going to be 12,000 policemen marching in BC for the cop that was killed. 12,000 policemen in uniforms. The clothing bonds, makes the brother and sisterhood of police part of that culture they have, right? So clothing names us, tells us about our feelings, alters and encourages. But God is like that too. Psalm 104 says, He's clothed in splendor and majesty. I'm always trying for a little bit of that with a new tie or a nice new blouse or top, bottom, whatever, shoes. Oh my goodness. We haven't even talked about shoes. That's part of the dressing thing, isn't it? And you know what can happen to people. They can get addicted about it. They can get compulsively buying stuff. There are people that have shoes they never wear. They bought them at a moment of weakness or a moment of something, and they take them home, and these things just sit there. I'm not saying about that of any of you at all, really. So our passage suggests this. Not suggests, it says there's... it says we have to... We're clothed with Christ. It says you who are... baptized, who were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. What a fitting way to speak about Jesus if you connect it to how clothing is such a deep part of ourselves. Such a huge... If we would take out the clothing industry out of the economy, oh my, it would all just collapse. You know, they say that we recycle clothing. We do. We send tons of it, and it's often bought just by the pound or by the weight to other places in our world. But the real truth is, here's the real truth, most of our clothing ends up in landfill. We throw away most of our clothing, we human beings, in the Western world especially. Sure, we ship some off to some places, and it has another economy. But you know how it's made, and it was made by the horrible places of manufacture in China, in Bangladesh, and India. You can go on like this. Clothing is such a pervasive topic, and so look at this. It says now, you and me, baptized into Christ, are asked to clothe ourselves with Jesus. I think that's a good thing. It says in the passage just above it, if your Bible is open, so the law was our guardian until Christ came. People looked into the law and saw themselves, and they were not doing very well. There are those commands, and I've not kept them, so the law makes me miserable. But your clothing can also make you miserable if that's how you look at life. It's the narcissism of humanity apart from God is that we measure ourselves by what we wear. We self-evaluate by what we wear. We evaluate others by what they wear. Clothing becomes a matter of judgment and discernment about yourself and others terribly deeply. I'm not here to answer all those muddled things today. I didn't mean to start you off on a topic that could take days to discern. I wanted you and me to think about being clothed with Jesus. In the scriptures, that reference comes again. Peter says in 1 Peter 5, verse 5, clothe yourselves with humility. And Paul says elsewhere, put on the things of the Spirit and put off the things of human. Again, a clothing reference. There are so many passages that speak about what we have on. Romans 13. Rather than all the things that are evil, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus. And do not satisfy the desires of the flesh. Somehow, that's a really, really good picture. You can be as simple with it as this. When you take your clothes off this night and put your pajamas on, if you wear those, you can already think about, away with the stuff that has bothered me all day. Away with my sinful stuff in my head or what others have said to me. I'm letting it go and getting ready for bed. Or in the morning when you're standing in front of the closet and you don't know what to wear and you say, I have nothing to wear. You say, wait a minute, that's not true. And then you can say, maybe I should put on Christ. Or, you know, you can really, if you bring consciousness into your clothes buying, into your clothes ways, maybe you'll temper a little bit this desire to have more. It's an addiction, you know. But let me bring you deeper into this thing. That has to do with the fact that we are dressed with Christ by God. That's really what's going on in the gospel. The idea that you do anything at all to make God happy is just way off. That how you look or how you appear to God is not the issue with him. He's resolved that long ago. When he looks at you, when he sees you, it's like God looking in his mirror and he sees you made in his image. And when he sees you, then he sees what? The rules you haven't kept, the mess you're in, and your self-made mess, and you ought to feel the consequences and feel the punishment and the judgment and the curse of Almighty God on you? Or is it, he sees Christ. It's no longer I who lives, says Paul, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now lead, I lead because he glorifies. So when God sees you, it's like God looking in the mirror. So next time you stand in front of a mirror, see if you can bring that thought to mind, that you are to God good looking and acceptable and dressed exactly right. There's a picture of you and me in the scriptures too, you know. It comes in It comes in the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, John asks, who are all these people around the throne, around this throne of God? Who are all these people? The throne of the Lamb, specifically. Who are all these people? And the answer is, these ones have been given the white robes, and the white robes are washed in the blood of the Lamb. And so the picture of the church victorious, the destiny of all of us, you and I are in that, is that we are washed, we have white robes on, and they're washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's a very strange thing. Have you ever had blood stains and try to get them out of something? That's really hard. So you know what the message is there in that book is about something deep. In fact, the answer is, these are the ones who have come through the trouble, the tribulation. These are the ones who have come through the stuff of life that can not just discolor your robes, but make you naked and terrorize you because of what life is and can be, unless God dresses you. So this morning, we're invited to move from our clothing to, which is so such a big topic. I told you, I just barely skimmed the topic here. Clothing is such a big topic, but we're invited to move from that huge topic of our clothing and the subtext of what we look like and how we feel about ourselves and how we judge others with it. We're invited to move away from all of that to think, when God sees you and me, he sees himself. And he invites you to get dressed with, put him on, put Jesus on. And so when you're facing somebody else and you're thinking, that person doesn't think much of me, remember, you have put on Christ. And when you speak or act or do stuff or buy or sell or claim or own or possess, do it as one who has Christ on already. You aren't naked. There's not the terror of shame there. You already are dressed and clothed the way our Heavenly Father intends his children to be. And what it leads to is what Paul writes in Galatians. He says, in Christ, it means then there is no Jew or Greek, no slave or free, no male or female. I don't know what all the implications are of that, but I do know this. It means stop judging. Stop condemning. In Christ. By the way, Paul uses the word in Christ about 165 times in his letters. In Christ. Some deep, mysterious, technical way of speaking about something wonderfully theological and beautiful and gospel with one little word. In Christ. You who have been baptized into Christ, in Christ, clothe yourselves with Jesus and see what you look like then to you and see what you show to others, what holds your values. Because we said that, you know, that that clothing does all those things, right? It tells us what we're about, what we believe, what we hold to be true, right? Be cautious with your clothing, then, because they can lead to judgment, self-judgment of the wrong kind. Be cautious about clothing because they can overwhelm you. You create not need so much, but want. Be cautious about your clothing and your possessions because they might get you thinking too much about yourself in the wrong way. Clothing, as we said, communicates what you believe in, what you hold to be true. Clothing also shapes what you think, what your spirit is like. Clothing signals your connections. let others see how you were dressed in Christ. And enjoy the relaxation of being dressed just perfectly right. Let us pray. So this message, Lord, just touched on the severe complexities of clothing. And we didn't say everything there's to be said about that, because that's our thinking and speaking and reading and getting to know work throughout the weeks, to analyze culture, to make sure we have a handle on that in the way you would like. But this morning's message, Lord, in the power of your Spirit, so that we will see the wondrous gospel truth that we are bought and kept in Jesus Christ, and that when you, Almighty God, see us, you see us fully dressed in Christ. You clothe us in him. And so let us too, Lord, every time, in every way, every day, in every hour, every way, put on Christ. Because we are baptized in him. We give you praise and glory. Now, in our Sunday, go to church clothing, and we give you praise and glory, Lord, all week long, because of how we look to you and what you can make us do for others in the appearance of Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.